And notice in chapter 1 and verse 12 of James, God said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So, blessed is the man, part 4, that endureth temptation. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that the Word of God would work miracles in our hearts as we contemplate this great truth about temptation that you allow in our lives. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be stirred to stand for you. And Lord, I pray that miracles would be done in lives. Some might need convicted. Some might need comforted. Lord, there might be even some here that aren't even born again and need to be saved. So have your will in our hearts. Guide us. Be glorified in our service. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So just by way of review, 3 weeks ago we looked at Psalm 1, the passage we just sang together. And in that passage we find God said, "Blessed is the man that avoids the world's ways and delights in the Word of God." And then the week after, we looked in Jeremiah 17, where God said, "Blessed is the man that trusts God alone." And of course, the contrast to that was, "Cursed is the man that trusts in man." And then last week, we looked in Psalm 112, where God said, "Blessed is the man that fears and obeys God." And today, we see that this fourth blessing is pronounced of God on those who endure temptation. So this is very important for us as Christians because we all face temptation. Matter of fact, if you look up in verse 2, God says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So God says we're going to have temptations. And when they come, our response shouldn't be to be frustrated or angry. Our response should be, this is from God. God's allowing this in my life. Therefore, I can rejoice in it. And if we choose to rejoice in it, God wants us to endure it. When temptation comes, we have two choices, don't we? We can endure it, or we can succumb to it. And we'll see that as we walk through the passage. So we'll start there in verse 12, part 4 of our passage. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." Now, Jesus, of course, is our great example of one who endured temptation. This was, if you go back one book to Hebrews chapter 4, this was part of why Christ came. He, of course, came to die and be our substitute, to rise again, to conquer death. But he also came to suffer all that we are meant to suffer. But he also came to endure temptation that he might be, as we'll see here, a very understanding high priest. Notice verse 15 of Hebrews 4. "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So in the course of his human lifetime, the Lord Jesus Christ faced every temptation that we can face. That's what it says. All points. And then, of course, it goes on to say, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." Now that we know that we have a high priest who's been there, who's endured the temptations that we face, we can come boldly to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ, knowing that he understands. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, while you're in Hebrews, and we'll see this again. And look carefully for that word endure. Notice Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So here we see the Bible says Jesus endured the cross. Worse suffering than any man could ever endure. Not only the pain and the indignities of the cross, but then having the sin of mankind laid upon him. But then it says he also, verse 3, endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. He endured all the mock trials. He endured all the blasphemies. He endured those things for us. And now God says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. We already saw in James 1, verses 2 to 4, we're going to have temptation. But when it comes, what's God's will for our lives? That we endure it. That we not succumb to it. And this word endure, if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, God here is talking to Christians as soldiers, and we are soldiers in the Lord's army. And we're not fighting each other, and we're not fighting the unsaved. We're fighting the devil and his helpers for the cause of souls of men and women, boys and girls. But notice 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's going to be things that we have to endure if we're going to be a good soldier. And one of the things is temptation. They're just going to keep coming. While you're in 2 Timothy, go over to chapter 4, look at verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. We're going to have afflictions. We're going to have hardness. We're going to have trials. But specifically today, God says we are to endure temptation. Go to James chapter 5 and verse 11, where God talks about a man we all know named Job. And I reckon outside of Jesus Christ, he probably suffered more than pretty much any man. And notice James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You know, Job endured a lot of suffering, but he also endured a lot of temptation. When his four friends came and started accusing him of deserving the suffering, essentially, he had to endure that. And choose not to fight back, but to trust God. And so, God says here in James 1:12, blessed is a man that endureth temptation. Look at the next phrase. For when he is tried. The word is not if, is it? The word is when. Are we going to be tried? Absolutely. That is a guarantee from Scripture that we will be tried. But why does God try us? Is there a purpose in it? Of course there is. Job understood that in the midst of his amazing trials. He said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. In other words, God is refining me. God is making me better for him. He's using these trials in my life for good. And God always does things for our good, does he not? Look in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, and we'll see it again. We will be tried. God doesn't say if, he says when he is tried. Notice 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Look at that word, manifold. It means they're going to come from all different directions. They're going to be all different types. We're going to face manifold temptations. But look at verse 7. That the trial of your faith, so part of our trial of being a Christian and living in this world for Jesus is these manifold temptations. But he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So part of the fire that we are going to face is these manifold temptations. Manifold. It's quite a word. While you're in 1 Peter, look at chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's going to happen. God says, don't stop and say, this is strange. It's not strange. God allowed it. God has a purpose in it. God is trying us all the time and testing us, refining us, making us more like Jesus. And part of that testing, as we saw, is these manifold temptations. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And then he promises, verse 13 of our passage, James 1, this crown of life. There's not a lot of crowns in the New Testament promised to Christians. But one of them is the crown of life. He shall receive the crown of life. Who? Who will receive the crown of life? Blessed is the man that endureth temptations. So not only will we be blessed on earth because we endure temptations, but God says we'll even earn rewards in heaven for enduring temptation. But what does the flesh want to do? The flesh wants to succumb to the temptation. The flesh wants to enjoy the temptation. But God here is promising blessings and rewards on those who will endure temptations. He says there at the end of verse 12, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now we all know that the greatest way to say I love you to God is to obey. Amen? To keep his commandments. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Well, God says here that another way to say I love you to the Lord is to endure temptation. Because when we succumb to temptation, of course, we sin. And then we have to deal with that sin. So now he begins to explain temptation itself here in verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. So God right up front says, you're going to face manifold temptations, but they're not from me directly. God is holy. God does not tempt us with sin, but God allows us to be tempted. There's a difference. So God doesn't directly tempt us, but he allows this old world and this old flesh to tempt us. And so when we are tempted, God says, don't stop and say, Lord, why are you tempting me? God says, no, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God's not doing it. God's allowing it. There's a difference. And our response needs to be that God is in control. God has a purpose in it. And God is going to use it in my life. And God will bless me if I will endure it. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would, verse 12. And so we as Christians, we always need to be on the lookout for the next temptation. And it will come because they are manifold. And we must never get to the point where we think, okay, that's it. I don't have a problem with it anymore. You're right where the devil wants you. Chapter 10, verse 12, 1 Corinthians, God says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you. So what's the context of verse 12? It's temptation. Let no man, in other words, don't think that you've arrived. Don't think that, yeah, I don't have a problem with temptation anymore. God says that's foolish. We need God every day. We need his help. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God. because we have temptations. They're manifold and we need to endure them. But then he says in verse 13, there hath no temptation, it's the same word, taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. So while God allows the temptations in our lives, God already knows in advance what our limits are. That's what it says. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He knows that with the help of the Holy Spirit, I can do all things through Christ, right? Which strengthens me. He knows where our limits are, and that he tailor makes, if you will, what temptations he will allow in our lives that are going to come from the world and the flesh. But he says, will with the temptation also make a way to escape? There it is. He says, there will always be a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Blessed is a man that endureth or that bears temptation. God's already promised us up front. I know your limits. I won't allow you to be tempted above your limits, but I know you can do this. Now we need his help, of course. We need his Holy Spirit. We need his word, but we can do this. And don't forget, when Jesus was tempted in the desert, three times he was tempted by the devil, wasn't he? And all three times, what did Jesus do but say, it is written, and quote scripture? All three times. And we're told to resist the devil. How do we do that? Well, he's already given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We can resist the devil. So he says here in verse 14 of our passage, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. When I was growing up, there was a show, there was a kid or a guy who always said, the devil made me do it. I can't even remember what the show was, but we blame way too much on the devil when it's us. That's what it says. Drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We need to stop blaming the devil, and we need to start realizing it's us. We're the weak ones. It's our own lust. We're enticed because we are weak. And what do we need to do? Well, if you go to Matthew 26, 41, Jesus took his disciples with him, his three disciples of the inner circle with him into the garden before he was taken away to be tried. And at that point, the devil was in full force. And so he says here in Matthew 26, 41 to his disciples, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is Jesus warning his disciples, guys, this is serious right now. Calvary's just around the corner. The devil has already gotten Judas. He's got these soldiers coming. Watch and pray. And what did they do? They fell asleep. They didn't watch and pray. So Jesus is saying to us, watch and pray. The temptations are coming. The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. The flesh is always weak and it will always be drawn away of its own lust and enticed. So we must watch and pray. We must be in the Word of God. We must be in prayer because temptation is always coming. Verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So lust in and of itself, which is conceived in the mind and the heart of man, leads to sin. And we have many examples in the Bible. David, of course, being one of the obvious ones. He should have been out fighting with his army. Instead, he was up on the rooftop, taking it easy while his soldiers are out dying for his name. And sees a woman bathing on another rooftop. He hadn't sinned yet. But that lust conceived, did it not? and it brought forth sin. As soon as he said to his whoever, his general or whoever was there, I want you to fetch her and bring her to my house, now it just went from lust conceived to sin. And then, of course, adultery and then murder. What a path. But it's always conceived in the heart, in the mind of man, and then it leads to sin. Proverbs 6, Solomon had learned this lesson. He said, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, lest neither let her take thee with her eyelids. And if anybody knew about the dangers of women, Solomon did. So lust, when it's conceived, it brings forth sin. And then he finishes there in verse 15. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The ultimate end of the unreceived or an unredeemed sinner is death. The wages of sin is death. Praise God, we've been saved from that and given eternal life. But what are we doing with the temptations? The manifold temptations. God pronounces a beautiful blessing. And so he's told us, first of all, in Psalm 1, if we're willing to not follow the world's ways, not follow the world's advice, and if we're willing to delight in the Word of God, we can expect blessings. Then in Jeremiah 17, if we're willing to not trust man, not trust man's ideas, not trust our own heart, but only trust God, he's promised blessings. And then last week, if we're willing to obey God's word and fear God, put him first in our life, he's promised blessings. And then today, if we're willing to endure the temptations, not succumb to them, but endure them, he's promised, blessed is that man. I can hear people saying, but this is hard. Yeah, this is the hardest part of the Christian life right here. Is the daily temptations that we face. To think the wrong things, to say the wrong things, to do the wrong things, to not do the right things. This is a battle that never ends. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter how old you are. The temptations don't just quit or go away. They just keep coming. But God says, blessed is the man that endures them. So it's another way for us to say, Lord, I love you. I'm willing to endure these temptations for your sake, that I might stay close to you. But I want you to bless me. Blessed is the man. For he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for another beautiful reminder that you truly want to bless us. And Lord, today may we focus our hearts on the temptations that we face every day, the manifold temptations that you've promised. But we also claim the promise that you said you will not suffer us to be tempted above that we're able, but always make a way of escape. May we always take that way of escape through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, Lord, that we might endure them and then enjoy the blessings that follow. Lord, there might be some in our service this morning, they're not sure they're born again. This message was not for them. They must have eternal life. And only Jesus can give that. And I pray they'll realize that and be saved today if they're not saved. Those of us that are Christians, may we be honest about where we stand in this matter of temptation. And Lord, may we set out to be those willing to endure it. Thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.